You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
I've been working on the railroad.
I've been working on the railroad all the livelong day.
Yeah, we are a place with two defunct railroad stations, railroad depots.
That's right.
One's Timekeeper Distillery.
Yeah, they've done a beautiful job of that.
And the other is the beautiful Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, both are really nice.
There's a lot of working on the railroads still, though, in Wausau. A lot of railroads.
Yeah, yeah.
Underrated rail town.
Even though we have two defunct rail stations.
Depots.
Yeah, depots. Yeah. Thank you.
The train tracks are still humming.
Yep.
And we forgot to talk about the pop concert last week.
The
53rd annual Wausau West pop concert was a couple weeks ago, and I meant to mention that it was one of the best pop concerts, but it was also one of the ones where there was the most heckling for people's friends.
Oh, they heckle and like to poke fun in a nice way type of thing?
One person in particular got heckled more than anybody I've ever heard heckled in my time ever going to the pop concert.
So how was that taken? Is that taken as I have the most people who like me because I'm the most heckled?
Let's go, Gideon! There's a lot of that.
His name was Gideon. Okay. I don't know who that is. He was a nice guy, looked like a nice guy. Very talented individual.
Good for Gideon.
Gideon's my brother!
Just, like everything.
Just raining through the theater.
Ow, Gideon!
Oh, wow.
It's like he was in a bunch of different stuff, too.
Yeah. So Gideon kept getting the shout out.
Yeah, a lot of people think of Memorial Weekend as the beginning of summer.
Yeah.
I think a pop concert weekend is kind of the beginning of summer.
Oh, yeah, and that gives you a couple extra weeks of summer that way, too.
Right. But either way, it's episode number 71.
Yeah.
Let's go. The Wausau Business Show with live,
yep.
Just from miles away from the iconic, historic, famous, legendary Snake Bridge in Wausau.
Snake Bridge, yep.
We miss you, Snake Bridge. This is the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And who do we have on the show this week, Paul?
We have Sean Wright celebrating 100 years at the Grand Theater.
100 years. That place is shut down.
Yep.
Everything's out of it. They're starting it from scratch. Sean's going to tell us all about it. They still have some money to raise.
Yeah, they still have some money to raise. And the construction team has a deadline that we're not sure if they're going to hit.
Yeah, it's Myron Construction.
Yep.
Myron Construction. We're going to stay on them.
Yeah.
This will be exciting because they only have until November to get it all refurbished.
They seem confident. That seems like a lot of work in a short amount of time. We'll see.
And what kind of theater is it going to be after it's done, Paul?
Will we call it big?
No, not so much big.
Okay, I'm on the right path.
Keep going.
Large?
No, not a large theater, even though it is a rather large theater.
Grandiose?
No. That's too much. That's too much.
Yeah, I took it too far.
Too far.
How about a slightly shortened version of it? Grand.
It's still going to be the Grand Theater after it's done with construction from Myron Construction. So this will be exciting to hear from Sean Wright coming up about that. And on a more serious note, CEO and president of the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin, Tim Parker, is going to be in here to talk about everything they're doing for the tornado victims in Ringgold, which is crazy.
They've really stepped up and done some cool things. So I'm excited to talk to Tim about that.
And you follow the Marathon County inspections in the Wausau Daily Herald, the restaurant inspections, right?
I do. I haven't seen the most recent one, however.
It's riveting every week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hear about who got dinged for what
at
the restaurants. And you're like, huh, I can't go there.
Right. That's usually what you end up.
That's your instinct.
Yeah.
But you kind of want to go back. But
I give them a second chance, depending on the violation, of course.
Of course. It's not going to be a Pedro situation.
No, they didn't. No one came back to them.
Nobody came back. But Scotty's. I've never heard of anybody getting 19 violations. It's like the inspector was in a bad mood that day.
Scotty's got 19?
19,
I like
man.
That place, too.
It's a great place, is it not?
Fun. Good food.
I'm not going to list them all. There's too many.
Yeah.
But I feel bad for Scotty's.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, the headline reads basically they got 19 violations and we don't know what they are. Well, we don't know.
It's a cool place.
Yeah.
You ever go there to play pool?
I have.
It's like a pool hall and I feel bad because it'd be good to maybe have them on because one thing that these inspection reports never give you is the other side of the story.
Right. I'm sure there's another side. There's another side to every story.
Right. And so I think it's probably good. Maybe we can get them in here to explain because there's probably an explanation.
Right.
Because we don't want Scotty's to be, you know, in a position where people are scared to go there.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'd like to maybe let's give them a call and get them out in the next few weeks.
Okay. All right. Speaking of drama in the business world and restaurant world.
One of our favorite things to speak of.
Venato.
Yeah.
Venato is back open.
Been there.
After 3 months of being closed, they had a water pipe situation.
Jeez. It
flooded. It flooded. And these people are the least lucky people, you know, in the world. It's a beautiful, Venato is a beautiful little wine bar in downtown Wausau.
I have been there and it is beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
I agree.
And the best guacamole in town.
And they make it right there,
of course. Make it right there.
Yep.
And, you know, when they first opened, above their establishment, they had a beautiful hotel, kind of a boutique hotel.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And then that got closed down because they were out of
fire code or other.
Right? Yeah, that's what it was. So that happened. And then they at one point said they were going to move town. They were leaving town. They were going to move.
Yeah.
Yep. And they were going to close Venato down. And then I think they joined the historic Dudley Tower, named after the beautiful Dick Dudley. And then that kind of fell through and they were going to move into the Foundry.
That's right. What a ride.
And then their place that they're currently in, they never really moved anywhere, I don't think. Well, I think they had a second location in the Dudley Tower for a short, brief period of time.
Okay.
And now they're out of there, and then they had a flood in their current place.
Unreal. Can't catch a break. That's a lot going on.
Good people, right?
Yeah. I liked it.
But yeah, we wish them all the best as they reopen from their flood.
Yeah. Okay. Here for Venato.
All right. So we'll be right back with the executive director of the Grand Theater in Wausau, Sean Wright, on the Wausau Business Show.
Hang on.
It's 2 a.m. Fear is gone. It's 2 a.m. The sun's still warm. Maybe my connection's tired of taking chances. Yeah, there's a storm on the loose. Sirens in my head. Wrapped up in silence. Our circuits are dead. Can I decode? My whole life spins into a frenzy.
Show. In a landscape carved by billion-year-old glaciers sits a community rich with history and opportunity. A base camp to the outdoors and the Northwoods, where miles of rivers tempt paddlers and the fresh scent of pine fills the air on every trail. A base camp to theater, to the arts, experienced through the color of diverse festivals, farm-to-table and craft beverages. A community that prides itself on Midwest nice and knows how to four-season better than any other. Wisconsin's base camp. Visit Wausau.
What does it take to run a successful business? It takes incredible courage to start at the beginning, incredible grit to achieve success, incredible determination to sustain results, and incredible perseverance to leave a legacy. But most importantly, it takes an incredible local partner dedicated to helping you achieve your goals. At Incredible Bank, we are that partner. Let us help your business do the incredible. Incredible Bank, member FDIC.
Check the mic, 1, 2, it's coming through. What's up in this show? Yeah, we got the scoop for you. For Ryan and Paul, dropping knowledge, that's the rule. From startup dreams to market schemes, they break it down for real. So tune in now, no time to slouch, feel the business deal. What's up in this show, yeah?
And I'm right at home. And damn it.
Everything is peaceful.
Our Business Show, and now here we are with Sean Wright. Hey, Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Sean, it's been too long.
It has.
Too
long. It has been too long.
And you've been busy, man.
We have been busy.
You've got the second century pin on your lapel, on your beautiful blazer there, and everything.
Yeah, you know, we've managed to have the final shows in this iteration of the Grand, and
That's it.
What was the final show?
Central ballet? Wisconsin School of Ballet was in for their showcase. Good tribute. Weekend.
I have to say, before we get into this, I think Sean Wright is in the running, if not in the lead, for the best dressed man in Wausau.
Dress of the nines.
Your check will arrive later. I appreciate that. Yes. You know, we do what we can.
Well, let's just describe what do you, trivia, Paul, Wausau Business Show trivia. Do you remember the name of the gentleman that was in here that was an expert? I think his daughter is in the Wisconsin School of Ballet, Central Wisconsin School of Ballet, the expert in men's fashion.
You can see I'm thinking. Of course I remember
Sean might
his name.
Know. I'll give you a clue.
He has a great cologne line, I'll tell you that.
Antonio Centeno.
Centeno, yes, yes.
I think his daughter's in the Central Wisconsin School
absolutely.
Of Ballet. But anyway, you know.
He's a very well-dressed man.
He's a well-dressed man. He's in the running. Can I just describe, Paul, let's just describe real quick what Sean's wearing. Because he really is. Every time I see you, you're dressed very handsomely, if I do say so myself.
Okay.
It is a light blue blazer with...
kind of a sky blue.
Sky blue with, what would you describe the pattern on there?
It's a window pane pattern.
Okay.
Window pane, kind of a pink window pane pattern.
Or would it be chartreuse? Or that's more of a pink than a chartreuse?
Yeah, I think more pink.
And then we've got a checkered pink and white dress shirt under there.
Looks custom fitted to me.
And then the handkerchief, what do we call that? Out of the lapel.
Pocket square.
Pocket square. Yeah. It's really sharp. My point is you're representing the Grand Theater damn well.
And Wausau.
You know, when my wife hears this, she will want a rebuttal of the fact that when she met me in college, I thought high fashion was, well, I'll tuck my long sleeve t-shirt into my sweatpants as opposed to leaving it out. So
That's a good look.
That look needs to come back. Tuck the t-shirt into the sweatpant look. Yeah,
no totally. Belt. Exactly. That's, you know, it means you're casual, but also business because you're tucking it.
Right.
In
it says a lot.
How did you meet your wife? I don't think we ever talked about that.
We met in undergrad at Westminster College, which is a liberal arts college in Fulton, Missouri.
Was it at the library or?
No. It was at a croquet party on a fraternity lawn.
That sounds fancy.
It was called an excuse for a sorority and fraternity to have an event together. I'm not sure how much croquet actually was played. But, you know, you did the party t-shirt and everything.
Yeah, croquet. That's like polo without the horses, right?
Yes.
It's not fancy. I met my wife fox hunting in Scotland or something.
Literally, the Grand Theater is closed down for the longest that it's ever been closed down. Well, probably since COVID, right?
Since COVID, yes.
But before COVid, let's take COVID out of there. That was a blip.
Yeah, you're going back to Arts Block would have been the last time it was closed.
And it was closed for longer than this?
It was closed for longer than that for Arts Block. Yeah, it was closed for almost a year with Arts Block.
Okay,
basically half of one season and half of another.
And now it's going to be closed until November.
1st of November, yes.
And you expect them to be right on track, if not ahead of schedule? That's, Myron's doing all the construction?
We're going to hold Myron to those dates. There
it's Myron, everybody.
That's
Craig, keep on schedule here, buddy.
Craig, keep your folks on schedule.
Myron Construction is responsible for opening on time.
They are the sponsor of the show that we will open with, which will be announced here in a few weeks.
Oh, we haven't announced that
yet. Which is November 7th. So, you know, they've got incentive to get the building done.
Right.
They want to have that opening show. So,
Can I take a guess on who it might be if I get it right? Would you?
Sure.
If we get it right.
Oh, that's funny that you said Blink, because I was going to guess Blink 182.
I don't think
he's not Blink.
Not Blink 182. But
that would be an interesting one, too.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
What's my name again?
Exactly.
What's my name again?
Some of our patrons.
What's my
donors.
Age again? Yeah. The donors didn't go for that one?
I think they'd probably, who is that?
Right.
But this does allow the Grand Theater to bring in much better guests. All this construction, it's kind of being demoed right now. You just showed us a picture before we got on the air.
Right.
All the seats are already out. It's a vacant room.
It is. So Myron went to work on on Monday morning, getting the seats out of there, demoing these seats that are 60 plus years old, most of which buried deep in concrete. So getting them out was very much a demo situation, but wow. they are all out. And
where are those going? Because I'm sure a lot of people in Wausau would love and be honored to have a seat from the Grand Theater.
To watch a Packer game or whatever.
Yeah, right. You know, as I said, a lot of them were just not in any condition to be salvaged once you got them out of the concrete. Okay. Some of our local groups, the Wausau Community Theater, was able to salvage some for their rehearsal space. Central Wisconsin Children's Theater actually took a pretty large number out of the balcony. And then the Wisconsin Historical Society, Marathon County Historical Society, with Blake and his team, they took some as well. And pretty much that was about the inventory of what we could get out that would be in one piece that would have, you know, with the way those seats were, they were mounted down in the concrete. So even if you take them, you then have to figure out a way to mount them to something. Sure. It's not like you can you can't just put it in your basement and watch a Packers game.
Right.
Paul.
Not just set it on the floor and be like, I'm good to go.
Yeah. You would tip over, Paul.
Yes, you would.
Okay. So what about like maybe bronzing one and putting it in on the 400 block?
We right hadn't thought about that. But we have some that we have in our archives. So maybe we'll bronze it, put it out on
bronze one. Yeah. Bronze one.
But here for all the people who sat uncomfortably for six decades.
Try this one. Now it's bronze.
Yeah. But the new seats you were telling us at one point have drink holders.
They do.
Right?
They absolutely. These are all the new seats. 1169. So we'll lose,
going down a couple.
You know, down from 1208. And when the pit is in use, as they are for a lot of Broadway shows, will actually be down to 1127 from 1172. So 40 to 50 seats, depending on the configuration, is what we'll lose, which is still, we can make that work. And the seats are all being custom made. There's a company out of Japan, Kotobuki, who does incredible work. Wow. And so these seats will all, you know, they'll have the wood backs, the wood bottoms, the way that historic theaters actually did back in the day,
okay,
as opposed to this metal, metal that we have currently. Just absolutely beautiful. And yes, I will say the one custom piece that this company that has worked literally all over the world in theaters, arenas, everywhere else said, you want cup holders in your historic custom, you know, built theater. And we said, we live in Wisconsin. Yes, we need cup holders.
Everyone's thirsty.
Always. So that was unique for them.
That was unique for them. Yes, that had to be something, you know, they've done cup holders before, but not with these sort of historic custom built seats. So we definitely went through three or four versions of shop drawings
because people were just putting it on the floor.
What's the price tag, if I may, per seat? Do you know?
Great question. Total, I'd have to go back, I'd have to do the math and math it out, but the seats are about $1 million in total of the project. So
let's just say it's 1,000 seat. Well, he's got his calculator.
Go ahead. I was guessing about $1,000 a piece.
Yeah,
so
that would be about right.
That's
about right.
Yeah. Let's just say 1,000 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's an expensive chair.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Good. But it gets, it's not an expensive chair if you think about it in cost per person sitting in it.
Like per usage.
Sure.
Yeah,
per
usage. Right.
Yes.
So what did they say? Konnichiwa. We don't know about these drink holders.
they are a really interesting company in that they, as their CEO, it's been a family business for decades. Their CEO Kiko says, "We love a challenge," and so that was a challenge for their engineers because of course, you know, as we talked about, we had all these conversations. You know, we were discussing cup holders. It's one thing when you know, you go to a stadium, you know, you go to Fiserv Forum and it's on the back of a seat. It's going to be plastic and you know, green and match seats. Well, we don't want that. We want something that matches everything else and fits with the historic thing. You know, we went through a lot of different, you know, could we just get those old things that you put in your, you know, your window back in the day?
Right.
You know, that set like on your window
on.
Hook on and we'll just put those in a box in the back of the theater and you can take one.
If you need it, you take one and hook it on your seat.
Yeah. You know, maybe we sell the hats that you could put your drinks in on either side.
Oh, with the straws.
With the straws.
Some guys at Myron might be using those over there today.
That's
the
true.
hard hats.
Yeah. Come 4 o'clock, they have the hard hats with the cup holders on.
With the cup holders. So.
It's a transformer.
It's amazing when you get into that process, the things that you do. But that's the beautiful thing is that these, you know, these seats are custom built. And so they're not only going to look better, feel more comfortable. You know, we're renumbering the theater, which is something that people have asked for years. Because right now, if you sit on the floor, and for example, if you're sitting in M1, you could be sitting in M1 right.
Oh, yeah.
M1
right center.
Right center.
Yeah.
M1
all right.
Left center. M1. And so we'll go to
who
a more
designed
standard.
That?
Somebody 100 years
somebody
ago.
Somebody a long time ago.
Boy, they were dumb a long time ago.
It wasn't a Wassonian.
So it'll be 100, 200, 300, 400 the way that you would normally
see
from now on. So that's going to be a nice change. But
a little more inherent.
We're excited about that.
Well, it speaks to years and years of planning and detail in every single facet of this. I mean, who was the committee that decided and had to just make all of these minute decisions on everything?
Right. Yeah. You know, we're fortunate in addition to Myron, our architect is the DLR group out of Cleveland. They specialize in historic theaters. They were actually the architect for Arts Block 23 years ago.
Yeah.
And one of their principals was actually a junior architect on that project. And so the great thing in working with them is...
He's been promoted since.
Yeah, he's done a few things since then. And, you know, so the great thing with working with them is they have both the history of the theater and the community and the project, but also, you know, the tools working in other historic theaters. You know, one of the things that they've loved to do is actually going back through some of the digitized archives of the Daily Herald and the Pilot and Review at that time in, you know, from November of 1927 to look at some of the things describing the Grand, describing to determine were the seats truly red. They were. Was the carpet red? It wasn't.
What color was it?
It was blue.
Oh, okay. So you're going back to blue?
You may see some blue carpeting.
Oh, okay.
Breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news.
Just all of those things and bringing in those color palettes. And then, within the decisions that get made, we've got a really great team on our staff from, our general manager, Olivia Hill and Joel Freiberg, Mark Weiss have literally been with the building, I think, since it was built.
Wow. No offense.
Not that long, but they've been there and have all that knowledge and do that. And then we've got a really fantastic campaign committee headed up by, Todd Nicholas as the campaign chair, Kay Grueling as our board chair. And, it's been a collaborative process, and when you have these conversations, I use an example of that. The seats currently have nameplates on, or did, had nameplates on them for people who donated $100 back in either 1987 or at some period leading up to Arts Block. You know, and our thought going into the project was those people have gotten their $100 worth over the period of years. Exactly. We're going to be putting new donor plates in because people can name seats with this campaign. And boy, I tell you what, when we mentioned that to our campaign committee and to a few of the other stakeholders, it was if we had said, and we're going to paint a big mural that says "Go Bears, Go" in the lobby, and they were saying, I've sat in these seats for years. I've got, I have family members there, or I had a board member who said, I'm honored to sit in Carolyn S. Mark's seats.
Right.
So again, working with Kotobuki, we approached them and said, can you put a donor plate on the back of the seat?
Wow.
And they said, you mean two donor plates? And we're like, yes. And
that's OG, how many donors we have.
The OG donor.
And there was another time where they were like, you people in Wisconsin are very confusing, but okay. Yeah, and so every seat will be getting... that is currently has a name on it, we'll get a brand new donor plate that will go on the back to reflect the previous generation of donor. Wow. And then folks have the opportunity, and we've sold about 650 of them so far to name the seat. In this
well,
generation.
We wanted to announce that we'd like to buy a Wausau Business Show seat if we could.
Okay. Front and center, maybe in the pit.
Well, what are those going for? I should have asked first.
That's right. $2,500 on the floor and $1,000 in the balcony. So,
Well, we'll think about it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We're running out of tight budget here in the Wausau Business Show.
Oh, we've got a folding chair that goes on stage sometime. We'll just put a piece of gaff tape
like
on
there.
Like a
lawn chair from the 80s.
Yeah, wow. Okay, cool. So, what do people do if they want to donate? donate, though, because you're still collecting.
We're still collecting, right? Yeah. We still are collecting. We still have about $3 million to go to reach our full campaign goal. People can visit grand100.org. All the details are there. You can make a gift there. We are taking 3-year pledges, or 2.5-year, I guess, at this point, you know, giving people the opportunity to spread those gifts out. We still have a few naming opportunities available, although it's really been amazing to see the major gifts that have come in and people wanting to name various aspects of the grand. So,
what's been the biggest gift that you've received so far?
The biggest gift that we've received so far is from the Dwight and Linda Davis Foundation.
Wow.
Yeah, Dwight
stepping
and Linda.
Up.
No kidding.
That's got to be a record donation for them, I would think.
It's
a record
amount. Very large gift, yeah. That is incredible. Yeah, the John S. Alexander Foundation was another 7-figure gift. And then we've had multiple 6-figure gifts from groups, foundations, individuals, corporations. It's been very great to
see. Well, and it's going to be night and day difference, right? And one of the biggest parts of that is that you're going to be able to have different shows.
Yes.
Like, I think we talked about Eddie Vedder is coming for at some point, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
No. it's a tribute to Eddie Vedder. It's Eddie Fedder. Eddie Fedder is coming.
That's what he said. Fedder.
Yeah. Fake Eddie Vedder.
Elton Ron will also be coming. Yeah, that is an actual tribute group. Elton Ron. Yeah.
Elton Ron? No kidding. Yes.
But in all seriousness, you're able to have much bigger and better acts come in, right? Yeah. Because of the transformation.
Yeah, we are, because, you know, not only with the backstage areas, you know, we've got a brand new green room that's a true green room and not just a little cafeteria space as it is now.
Which matters, right?
Which does matter. Star dressing rooms downstairs. We're enhancing, you know, some of the lighting positions that bigger shows, including Broadway, are asking for, you know, making some other enhancements to audio systems, video. I mean,
very cool.
Yeah, just a lot of those. In some ways, we've invested a lot through the years in the technology, but this is really going to sort of move us to that next step forward. Yeah. And that just, all those things matter when you're in competition for artists, and a lot of the things that we're doing on the on the production side are just to keep us viable as a multi-night Broadway touring house. I mean, that is our bread and butter. It's the thing people really truly,
the Broadway stuff.
And the multiple night shows when they come.
Yeah, when you got to turn it and you got one thing going on tonight and the next thing you got to pick everything down and put everything back up or put new stuff back up.
That's when a Broadway show comes in, you take out everything you have because everything loads in. But they have very specific needs and wants. And so this will allow us to address some of those as well and not have to so often say, we can't do that, which is something we've had to say a lot over the last 2 decades or so.
And some of those artists are real prima donnas when it comes to that green room, aren't they?
Yes.
I mean, it's real...
I know some of our guests are.
Green M&Ms only.
Yeah, we don't have much of a green room. But
seriously, I mean, that makes or breaks some of them from deciding whether or not to come to the Grand Theater.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. I mean, we hear time and again that people love coming to Wausau. They love coming to the downtown and everything that it has to offer, because it's, you know, it's different than a lot of tour stops. As I had an artist say, you know, it's really nice not to stay at a insert chain hotel by the interstate that we get in a 15 passenger van to go to the show, as opposed to we're right downtown there's places to eat, places to drink, places to shop, all of these things. We know we have that working for us. We know that we have fantastic audiences who support it. We have a beautiful theater. Well, we want to make sure that our backstage matches up to that level of hospitality and welcoming environment. So we're excited about that, and think it's just another tool in our toolbox as we try to get artists here. I mean, I always tell the story that, you know, Jim Belushi in the Board of Comedy, over the last, 10 years, they've probably only done 24 shows total, because he's got other things and he's made enough money.
Yeah.
But I think they've been here 4 times in the last decade because he loves coming here.
And he loves the Mint.
The Mint.
Right?
Yeah.
The Mint.
The Mint.
He loves
coming. Well, we got a table for him over there. Yeah. So.
And weren't you telling us at one point that he won't do a show on a Sunday because the Mint's not open, or he won't do a show on a Saturday because
the Mint's not open on Sunday? Yep. The Mint's not open on Sunday. Yeah. Well, that's exactly that.
So, this is our plea to open on Sundays, please.
That's right.
Yeah. It would be a great place to go on Sunday. But originally, the Grand Theater was developed by the Wausau Group, who those guys started Wausau Papers, and it was the DC Everest and all those group of guys, right? Mm-hmm. And what was the reason that they decided to put what was equivalent to obviously millions and millions of dollars at the time into this theater originally?
Yeah. You know, if you look back. The Grand Opera House actually originally sat on the site. That goes back all the way to the, you know, the 1880s, 1889. And then as it got into the 1920s, they found that it was, you know, sort of like today. It was a thing that brought people to the community, convinced mm-hmm. people to stay in the community. And yeah. as the community was growing with all of those leaders, you know, the Wausau Theater Company owned and operated the theater. And, you know, to be honest, it were very profitable, did very well.
Yeah, you went back and looked at the books.
Yeah. Trust wow. me, they
you did, still have the records. They,
yeah,
it.
We still have That's some cool. of those ledgers. Wow. And so there was a decision made at the time by their, they literally had shareholders, you know, stockholders in the Wausau Theater Company who had a lot of those civic leaders uh-huh. that we've got this theater, but it's not up to the standard that we think Wausau should be.
This is what the Wausau Group team was saying.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, and Frank Welter and the leaders of you know, the Wausau Theater Company. And so the decision was made to essentially build the Grand, but that took them knocking down the Grand Opera House. Okay. And because even in 1927, you don't want to be dark very long.
Right.
The Grand Opera House ceased to exist in March of 1927. They demolished it the 1st of March, 1927. Yes, as you may know, the Grand will be coming up on its 100th anniversary in 2027. Yeah. So that means they built and opened the Grand as it stands today in a little over 8 months. That's opened on Thanksgiving yeah. Day, wow. 1927.
I remember wow. you telling us that in your yeah. original if, interview here yeah, on the right. Wausau Business yeah, Show. Yeah, I mean,
can yep. you imagine? You wouldn't even get the permits
That's no.
today.
Yeah, right.
There, but they, you know, they made the decision, and that was, if you look at the trajectory of the theater and, you know, in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, it really had an amazing sort of you know, foothold in the entertainment community in terms of the types of shows that they could get. I mean, the old thing is true. Artists traveled by railroad uh-huh. and it's a railroad community. And
yeah.
so you had that. You had a strong reputation as a movie house, yeah. you know, for mm-hmm. this region. I mean, truly for this entire region.
I saw E.T. there for the first time.
Yeah.
That's right, in 87.
Yeah. yeah.
Or 83.
And then through the generations, as it became less of a performing arts center and became focused purely as a theater, you had that. And then,
yeah.
You know, obviously the trajectory, there was, as I, you know, mentioned in my remarks today at our event, you know, in the early 1980s, there was a real concern that the Grand would cease to exist.
Yeah, it really fell into disrepair for a while, didn't it?
It did. Yeah. And you know, there was talk of, do we need a theater? Would it be better as a convention center?
Wow.
Or does it need to be rebuilt as a multi, like a true movie theater? Obviously, in yeah. the early 1980s, movies and multiplexes were all the rage.
Just
the rage.
Imagine if the Grand Theater was an IMAX.
Exactly.
How horrible that would be.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be out of business.
Yeah. Yeah. AMC 6. Right.
Yeah, yeah right.
Downtown. I mean, we lose that beautiful historic landmark, but it was debated at the time.
It was debated yeah. at the time. And, you know, and then the initial price tag for renovation and restoration came in north of $3 million,
yeah, right.
and in that period of time, it just wasn't feasible.
Right.
But the restoration group, kind of chaired by John Slayton, and then Central Wausau Progress, Dick Dudley, and other leaders came together and said, "Is there essentially? Can we get another opinion?
Yeah, yeah.
On this?" And what they found in doing some work was that you could do the theater and the theater, you uh-huh. know, and I think there was talk of some additional backstage areas, other things for $1.7 million. And so that was the price tag. And, uh-huh. and it was announced in May of 1985 that they were going to do it, and it reopened in the fall of 1987. And
Dick Dudley had a real prominent role in that.
Absolutely.
Dick Dudley, the founder of Reser Oil gas stations.
Yeah.
And I think obviously a broadcast guy. He was the former owner of WSAW Channel 7.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we ran into him along right around that time. Maybe we talked him into it with our little pep talk that we gave him.
Mr. Dudley.
That's right. We appreciate that. That yeah. was thank you for your service.
We've been working on Wausau for decades.
Yeah. But Sean, the Great Hall is also obviously part of the renovations. Yeah. And one of the things that you've mentioned in the past is that the acoustics in the Great Hall will change so that you can have bigger concerts where people can stand up.
Exactly.
Live music, etc. Yeah. yeah.
And
yeah.
so two last questions. One, who's the biggest, and you can only choose one,
Uh-oh.
The biggest, most popular, most successful artist to ever grace the stage at the Grand Theater in the past, historically, through its history?
Uh, I
I mean,
you can only
Aretha
choose
Franklin.
One. Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, that's
okay.
A good one.
That's all right. Big Mama. Is that her name?
I don't know. Sounds right.
Queen of Soul. Usually.
Queen of Soul. Yeah, Queen of Soul. Well, that's what I meant. That's
Leave
what I meant.
Leave it to Sean to correct us.
Big
and,
Mama
and
is my
right.
sister-in-law. That's her nickname.
Hey, Laura.
She named herself. So, okay. So then the next question and the last question is, who will be the biggest artist after it reopens, the historic opening?
Can you break the news?
I was going to say, we can't give away the season just yet. But,
when is that going to be announced?
That is announced on June 1st, and the preview party will be at Rothschild Pavilion, because obviously we can't have it at the theater, so we'll be at another historic space on June 2nd. That's people's first chance to get tickets to, I think we have 38 different titles that we'll be announcing as part of the season, opening in November.
So you're filled up for the season, more or less.
It is busy and full. You know, and the funny thing is, even if I gave you a name who's on the books today, that doesn't mean by the time we get a year from now that that'll be the case, because that's kind of the way our industry works. You never know who's out there. And
well, we experienced that one time, but
what
change? Eddie Money.
Oh yeah, yes. God rest his soul. Yeah. He was announced. Yeah. We were all excited, right. And then he passed away.
So it happened.
So it does happen.
That, that kicked off the 1920 season, and it really kind of set the tone for the 1920 season.
Yeah.
Started a little later than we had intended, and then ended earlier than we intended.
Yeah. But I will say, in my opinion, the Old Crow Medicine Show was the best show that I ever saw at the Grand in the past.
Pretty solid.
I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, that was, true. I think we've had two of the best shows, you know, leaving Broadway out of the equation, just from a concert perspective, two of the best shows in the decade that I've been there. Old Crow Medicine Show, and then we had Molly Tuttle in November, and Molly is just, I mean, wow. Well, what talent, and oddly enough, is doing some dates with Old Crow, as well as some dates with Marty Stewart and others.
Cool.
And she just, I wish I would have
been there for that one.
I remember we had the show, and then, you know, she was talking about heading out to California, and she had some tour dates, and then one night I just happened to be, you know, flipping through the channels, and it's like, oh, tonight on Kimmel, Molly Tuttle is the musical guest.
Wow.
And I'm like, literally just took a photo with her 10 days ago, and she woke up. She actually woke up that morning with no voice.
The night of the show on Wausau?
She gave it all to Wausau.
She literally woke up the morning of our show with no voice. And the morning of our show with no voice. She had performed the night before over in Appleton, and we're indebted to our board member, Dr. Ridwe Muheri, who it took one phone call, and he said, I'm on duty today. Get her into me, and got her.
The show must go on.
This guy knows how to fix a voice.
Yeah. He has insisted to be referred to as the rock doc from now on. So we've got artists who have green room demands and board members who have numb to plums.
Yeah. I need your voice doctor ASAP.
Exactly. But that is saying something, that in the past number of years, you've been here for over a decade, about a decade
11
now?
11 years now.
And in your 10 years here, the best two shows, Broadway excluded, that you've ever seen happen in the past 12 months at the Grand Theater.
It just, you know, you just never know what magic you're going to see on a nightly basis. And I think that's always the thing that we love is, you know, of course, when it's a big name or when it's a show people have seen before, when people say, oh, great show, or really, really enjoyed the show, or they comment on, you know, social media, that's fantastic. What I love even more are I had no idea what I was going to see tonight, but wow, that was incredible. It exceeded all my expectations.
Yeah, blew me away.
You get that added reverberation from the audience where you're like, no, that was something special. You can tell when you're in the audience, it's like, no, this is magical.
I'm seeing something special right now.
Well, Sean, thanks for coming in. Keep us updated. Absolutely. What's the full campaign? How much is the value of everything that you're doing over there now?
It's about $17.5 million.
Ah, mere $17.5
million. Well worth every penny.
All right. Thanks a lot. Sean Wright, the executive director of the Grand Theater in Wausau.
See ya.
Every girl crazy about a shine as me.
for listening to the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
The Wausau Business Show.
Dedicated to Wausonians from Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
For over 130 years, Ameriprise Financial has helped millions of Americans retire on their terms by providing advice for their unique goals. Stop in today at Strongbridge Wealth Advisors, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Advisors, LLC, and develop a customized plan for your retirement. Call Strongbridge Wealth at 715-849-3697. Office is located at 2711 Stewart Avenue, Wausau, Wisconsin. Visit us online at strongbw.com. Not FDIC or NCUA insured. No financial institution guarantee. May lose value. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Hello, my name is Maureen Carlson of Greenfire Management Services. Greenfire is a trusted local commercial construction manager. Greenfire provides detailed and innovative services so you can focus on growing your business. We're all about helping companies and communities thrive, so Greenfire is pleased to sponsor the Friend of a Friend competition to support the continual growth of Central Wisconsin. Contact us today to discuss your next construction project. Learn more at greenfire.com. That's greenfire.com.
Wausau all the time. It's the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And here's Tim Parker, president and CEO of the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin.
Yeah, hey, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning, thank you.
Tim. Hey, good to have you in, Tim.
Good to be with you again. Yeah, thanks.
Before we start, I mean, we've had some really interesting stories with you over the years now
The
Wausau Business Show. Episode number 71. I think you were on episode originally 4 or 5, if
Pretty
I'm not
early
mistaken.
On. That was early, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Was, and, yeah. And we talked about Michael J. Fox and your meeting with Michael J. Fox, and you share your a common diagnosis with Michael J. Fox, and you opened up about that. But today we've got some other stuff to talk to you about. I'm looking forward to that. But before we start, I thought it would be interesting to ask you what your hidden talents are.
Oh, there you
Any
go.
Any hidden talents?
Hidden talents.
Hidden talents that,
that would be talents that nobody knows about.
Might not know about. Yeah.
They might know about some of my talents. I do play saxophone.
Yep.
You have yeah, I heard.
Multiple bands in the community here, which I really truly enjoy.
Yeah.
But maybe a hidden one was I did get my master's in business administration.
Okay.
People don't care about that.
You know, like, you but you're an engineer that. As well, too,
I'm an
right?
engineer, but in between the engineering and the MBA, I did go to clown college.
Okay.
So,
for real?
Yeah, for real.
Paul likes to pretend that he went to clown college.
Yeah, I've used that line before, but it's
some
not
of
true.
You are natural clowns, and other ones we had to be trained. Yeah.
So, what number were you coming out of the clown car?
Depending on the crew, probably.
Yeah, I think I was down the line a bit because I did that because when I was a kid, my grandpa had some old cars that he drove in the 4th of July parades and things like that. And I learned to ride the unicycle when I was 10.
Wow. Cool.
So I would ride the unicycle beside his cars through these parades. And then I ended
up. At 10 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So then over time, I developed this little shtick.
Yeah.
And then I learned how to play my saxophone while I rode my unicycle and did a little drunk man routine. And so.
Dressed up as a clown?
Yeah, dressed up as a clown.
Oh, drunk great. Clown.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, a young, in my early 20s, out of college, you know, working my first job, I thought it'd be fun to make that official and go to clown college. So but I did that.
The parade was in Flint, right? Because you grew up in Flint, Michigan?
Yeah.
And where is clown college?
Well, this was in Grand Rapids. I was living in Grand Rapids when I got out of college.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh,
so Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Did you get any paying gigs post graduation?
I've never been paid to be a clown, so okay. I can't. I can say I'm a professional clown who's never been paid.
Yeah, right.
I did only one church picnic after I went to clown college, and I never did it again.
Volunteer.
What's the curriculum at clown college?
Well,
how long
know,
does
that
take?
Great question.
You know, it's grueling. I think it was about a six-month class at a community college.
Okay.
But there are aspects of being a professional clown that are, you know, with etiquette and, you know, how you handle yourself, how
sure.
you touch people or don't touch people, you know, really important things. And then you can tell a true professional clown from from a non-trained clown by how they do their makeup.
I
can't tell the secret, but there are ways to know.
Okay. Oh, there's secrets.
Yeah. So I'm actually qualified to be in the Shrine Circus, I can't, I haven't worked my way up, obviously. I only did one gig.
You haven't gotten the promotion.
No. So I would only be able to be in like the entryway of the tent, but I'm not a qualified greeter to go into the rings. It takes quite a bit.
You're a greeter, not a performer then.
Yeah. It takes a lot to really work your way up in the clown business.
Who's like the top clown in the clown industry?
Is it still Bozo?
I don't know. You know, my wife did do the Bucket Bonanza on Bozo.
Wow.
So, when she was a kid. So we, you know, clown kind of runs through the family.
Yeah.
But I don't know who the clown of the day is. Actually, to be honest, I think clowns are a little scary these days.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, there's some scary ones out there.
The Clown Hall of Fame. Who would be up in the clown? Who are they? Are they retiring any clown uniforms in the rafters of the Clown Hall of Fame or anything like that?
We'll do some research and get back to you.
Yeah. Where are there other clown colleges?
There are. You know,
I got a lot of questions.
I'm sure down like in Baraboo or something, there must be a clown college. Or down in Florida, there's some place where all those people retire. So I don't know.
Oh,
but there has to be.
There was the worst job of my career was in Chicago. I worked at a firm and I learned the most from the worst job of my career. But on the last day, I was so proud to quit and it was just such a bad culture in the office. It was 150 people. I loved the people and, you know, but it just wasn't a good environment. And on the last day, I wanted to wear clown shoes. And I still regret not going in on the last day in clown shoes.
You have a full clown costume, don't you?
A Halloween party one time, I went for as an amateur clown.
Okay, do you have the shoes?
I got rid of those. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Unfortunately,
expensive.
You know, it's a classic Halloween costume. The amateur clown costume. Right, so you have your degree.
Yeah, I have a certificate in a frame that's in a box somewhere in the storage room in the basement.
If I had that, I would have it framed in my office.
This is a pretty good hidden talent. This one's going to be hard to beat.
University of Wisconsin, Virginia Commonwealth University, and at the top would be my framed clown college certificate.
Yeah. I'm full of worthless trivia.
Man. How about in the 4th of July parade in Wausau? Would you be able to participate in that still? Or no?
It would take a lot.
Donation? Okay. Maybe we start a fund?
This community would have to accomplish something really important for me to do that.
Raise some money?
Maybe we come up with an idea.
Okay.
I like that. We'll come up with something.
$1,000, $2,000.
Think probably a lot of zeros.
Oh, a lot of zeros. Okay. What's the bare minimum?
Well, it depends on what we're trying to do, right? But if
maybe we create
an endowment for some need in our community.
Like what the cause is.
What's the cause?
Unicycle. Yeah.
There is an Instagram post of me riding my unicycle from here to the 400 block, if you want to look that up.
On the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin's Instagram?
Yeah, you could probably find that.
Oh, that is...
So my staff has pulled half of the clown back out of me.
Yes.
Because you remember Jim Waldron, the former CEO of Wausau Window and Wall and then Wausau Tile, he came in and it was decades, well, probably 20 years since he went off the ski jump, the water ski jump.
It had been 20, yeah.
And we raised, I think, $1,000.
And then he said he'd do it.
Then his wife stepped in. This is way too dangerous. Right,
He's too old to take that kind of risk. Yeah.
He said, I don't think so.
Yeah. I think a unicycle is a little safer, though.
I do,
it's
too.
It's safer, yeah.
You
know?
So we can
talk about that.
Okay, get back to us.
Further news on that.
All right.
Great.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
On a more serious note, though, how much did the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin give out in the past, 12 months to the Wausau area?
Yeah, we track usually year to year, but I would say in the last 12 months, we're $14 to $15 million.
Wow. Incredible. Yeah. You guys do amazing work. And what's the website for people?
www.cfonncw.org.
Okay.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. It's the initials.
Yeah.
It is. .org.
Yep. It's the initials.
Easy as that. 100% of the proceeds from the Wausau Business Show go to the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin.
Thank you for that. It makes a big difference.
Proud partners. So.
We've got another $10,000 that we're proud to award today.
All right.
Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin.
Yes.
Thank you to our sponsors.
Too bad the radio can't see the big check you're holding.
We've got a big check.
Giant
we'll post.
Check once again.
But our amazing donors that support the Wausau Business Show, takes a lot of money to put this onto the radio and everything else. And we donate our time. And we've accumulated about $10,000 through our events and things that we do on the Wausau Business Show. So we're proud to donate to the, I think we have a fund at the Community Foundation.
You do. You do, yeah.
Cool.
The Wausau Business Show Fund.
There we go.
And so that'll be put to good use.
Thank you.
So yeah,
thank you.
Happy to do that.
And you also have a tornado fund for the people of Ringgold. And I was talking to you about that the other day, and I was just shocked at how many homes were totally destroyed.
Yeah, yeah, it's devastating. 5 weeks ago today, as we record this today, the storm hit in the late afternoon, and within 2 hours, I was talking to Pam, who's our finance person in the office, and she's asking, do we want to set up a fund? And we had no idea if this was a bad tornado. At that time, it was just we heard something hit.
Right.
I said, yeah, we're setting up a fund.
Yeah.
And then she said, are we going to charge our normal 1.5% fee? I'm like, no, we're not charging any fee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to raise some funds to really help. And so it took a day or so for us to realize the devastation that really took place with this tornado. And yesterday, actually, we mailed out letters to 145 homeowners who were affected by this tornado.
Okay.
So 145 homes in the Ringgold area and a couple in Cronin-Wetter, a couple other spots where it just touched down real briefly on its path. 31 of these homes were completely destroyed.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and 43 of those had major damage, which means they're likely to be also just completely taken down. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 74 homes pretty much lost, and then others, you know, damaged, and people are really in need right now. So
that's a lot of families.
And they're all displaced.
It is, yeah. It's devastating, and as is normal with disasters like this, you know, a couple weeks afterwards, a lot of people move on and think that it's gone.
Right,
right.
This disaster is going to affect our neighbors for years.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
So really a difficult situation, and you know, our hearts go out to the people who live there and people who were affected.
Well, and the percentage, I mean, Ringgold's not a huge community, obviously.
No.
So the percentage of people that had their homes destroyed is extremely high.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's wild. And you are also, I understand, putting together emergency services in some capacity too. And you're kind of the ringleader behind that.
Yeah,
right?
You know, at the Community Foundation, you know, we're always here to convene. If someone else is a leading an effort, then we support that effort. But in this case, unfortunately, emergency services were not activated.
Okay.
And so after a few days, we realized somebody needs to coordinate all of the efforts between the Red Cross and the Salvation Army and the volunteers on the ground. And so we went ahead and took that role. So we've been doing that for the last 5 weeks, just trying to coordinate all of the efforts, make sure that the needs are being met, make sure that you know, people are safe, and to make sure that we're just taking care of the community and making not duplicating efforts also.
So right.
It's a big effort, and not really the type of thing that we normally do,
right.
But we're happy to help because there's a need.
How much is in the Ringgold Tornado Fund now?
Well, we've raised at the Community Foundation $376,000.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
great.
That goes
a long way.
That's good.
And 100% of that will be used to benefit the people affected by the storm, and we've been deploying that money already. So in the early emergency phase, we were providing healthy food and dumpsters and diesel fuel for the equipment. And now we've moved into more of the rebuilding phase. And I mentioned that we sent out 145 letters.
Yeah.
And that's to the homeowners because we're going to pay $1,000 of their deductible.
Okay.
Just to kind of help get them going. Because that really activates a whole lot of capital to help in the recovery.
Where are all those people, you know, are they just staying with family and friends in the area now?
It's a combination. So if you go there, you know, I've been fortunate enough to meet pretty much everybody who's been affected and, you know, see their homes or what's left of their homes or what was their home.
Yeah.
We've had people sleeping in a cot in what's left of their garage. People, friends bring a camping trailer over in the camp. Other people are staying. I can think of one family, they're staying with their family in Merrill. Mm-hmm. Other people have been able to get apartments that you know, different people have freed up for them. So it's a big combination. Others are staying in hotels, although most of the insurance benefit to pay for a hotel is expired by now.
Okay. Sure.
So it's...
Have any of the hotels or apartment owners stepped up and reduced rates or anything?
Oh, for
like
sure.
That?
Yes, yeah. They have. I think if I mentioned one person, I would leave a few out.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
I probably won't, because what's great about this community is the outpouring of support. And yeah. So many people have been there to help them in different ways. And so it is a little bit difficult for me to pinpoint one person sure. when so many people are involved.
How emotional, how incredibly emotional. I can't imagine, you know, the impact that that would have. And obviously that's going to stick with them emotionally for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, right. For sure.
But thank God nobody was injured even.
Nobody was injured. Nobody was killed. Yeah. And
that's unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah. And when you talk to these individuals and hear their story and they show you the stairway in the basement that they hid under with their dog and the whole house is gone above them. It's just so hard to believe that nobody was injured.
And some people were trapped for a while.
They were.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
But but nobody was injured at all.
Nobody.
And let alone killed. Yeah. Jeez. So,
thank God, yeah.
Yeah, thank God for that. And thank goodness for, you know, the emergency services that put out the message, right? Yeah. So they knew this was coming.
Yeah.
The people got the word got out to them, so they knew. And that is really important to be prepared.
Yeah, because imagine if it happened in the middle of the night or something like that.
Yeah, right.
This was around 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, right?
It was.
I remember, yeah. Well, that's awesome. So if anybody wants to donate to this fund, obviously you're at the forefront of understanding where the funds or the money could best be deployed, then should they just contact the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin?
They can do that. You can call us, you can email us, you can go to our website. We can, you know, you can send us a cash or check or stop by. Pretty much any way that you want to give, we have a way that you can do that. So going to our website is probably the easiest way.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, thanks for stopping by, Tim, and explaining all of that and giving us an update on everything.
Of course.
And for stepping up in a time of need. That's pretty awesome.
Yes. And I think it's important for everybody to remember this is going to be going on for these people for a couple years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't forget about Ringle.
So keep thinking about them. Yeah. And
hard to fathom.
Stay tonight.
It is.
Keep it on your radar.
Yes.
All right, Tim. Ringle, everybody that's listening in Ringle, we love you.
Yep.
We love you, Ringle. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Tim Parker from the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin.
Thanks,
Tim. Thank you.
All right. You know, people have been asking about the friend of a friend competition for $10,000. The person that gets the most people to live and work in central Wisconsin gets $10,000.
Yeah, it's a lovely contest.
We've been doing it for, it seems like a year now.
I think it has been about a year.
And I got an email the other day. Hey, when are you guys going to announce the winner for the $10,000?
Oh, okay.
And we've been wanting to get the three finalists in for the final announcement on who won.
Yeah.
So hopefully we do that. We're going to do that next week.
Okay, cool. Let's do it.
If we can get everybody in. We've been trying to time it out.
That's been the hard thing, getting all schedules coordinated and whatnot.
So stand by for that, everybody.
Good.
And hopefully on the show next week, too, our dear friend Mark Holly.
Yeah, we want Mark in here.
Changing careers, following the footsteps of the legendary Howard Gronetsky.
Yep.
Howard didn't change careers, though, I don't think.
No, I think he stuck it out as that weatherman.
Yeah.
Chief meteorologist.
No, he was a radio guy, too, on WSADU for a while.
Yeah.
So until next week, from high atop Rib Mountain, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show Transmission.
The end.
Have a great Memorial Day weekend, remembering our fallen veterans, everybody.
Absolutely.
God bless.
Thank God for my life, and for the stars and stripes. May freedom forever fly. Let it ring. Salute the ones who died, the ones that give their lives, so we don't have to sacrifice all the things we love, like our chicken fries and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio, I'd like to see the sunrise, see the love in my woman's eyes, feel the touch of a precious child.
This has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. All rights reserved. 2026.
Hi, I'm Eric Cannenberg from Rocket Industrial.
Hey, this is Jerry Seibert.
And this is Kelly Seibert.
I'm Bob Rue.
And I'm Angela Toshner.
Hey, this is Sam over at 72nd Avenue.
Hello, I'm Tong Tao.
This is Chad Waller.
Hey, this is Dom.
Hey, this is Cody.
And I'm Rob.
This is Craig Steiff.
This is Nate Callahan.
Hey, Rocket Industrial.
Just some of the reasons why Rocket Industrial has been certified a great place to work.
work. 9 years running. Forward-thinking companies throughout the United States that want a package with less, choose Rocket Industrial. RocketIndustrial.com.
Discover the Milk Merchant, nestled in downtown Wausau's River West District, where every selection is curated with care and where every bite tells a story. The Milk Merchant brings you an exquisite collection of Wisconsin and imported cheeses, charcuterie boards, specialty foods, and unique home goods. Our love for quality food drives us to support local dairy farmers and artisans. Stop in to sample a selection of the finest Wisconsin cheeses, from Pleasant Ridge Reserve to the legendary 15-year aged cheddar. Mention this ad for a free wine sample. Let us curate a gift basket perfect for any occasion. Or join us in a culinary adventure by signing up for one of our events at themilkmerchant.com.
Oh, I love your podcast. It is awesome.
Thanks for doing what you guys do.
Josh is crazy caller Brian from California.
The Mint.
What's up, business show?
It's on the radio to talk about the gardens. Whoa, whoa, whoa. From Monk to just the salt, they want to expand. But the people said bring Monk back to the land.
I had tears of joy rolling down my cheeks. The arrival and departure at the Red Lobster was broadcasting genius.
Every entree comes with two warm cheddar biscuits.
Keep up the good work.
As the new mayor of Wausau, I would welcome Red Lobster to our great city.
I can't wait to visit Wausau.
This is the legendary Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
Are we still your favorite radio hosts of all time, Moms?
Absolutely.
Of course you are.
This is Grace Stankey, former Miss America 2023 nuclear engineer, and you're listening to the Wausau Business Show.
I like to refer to him as Robert W. Monk.
The number one show for and about Wausau.
What's that spell? Yeah, you're going to Florida.
Are you kidding me?
Okay, what's your favorite Wausau Business Show?
You guys.
Oh, good answer.
The Wausau Business Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.